So we're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 12, devotional service. So we read today text number 16. Okay. Anapeksha shuchirdaksha. Udasino gata vyata. Sarvaramba parityagi. Yamad bhakta same priyaha. Anapeksha. Neutral. Shuchi. Pure. Daksha. Expert. Udasinaha. Free from care. Gatavyataha. Freed from all distress. Sarva Aramba. Of all endeavors. Parityagi. Renouncer. Yaha. Anyone who. Mat Bhakta. My devotee. Saha. He. Me, to me, priyaha, very dear. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. My devotee who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains, and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. Purport. Money may be offered to a devotee, but he should not struggle to acquire it. If automatically, by the grace of the Supreme, money comes to him, he is not agitated. Naturally, a devotee takes a bath at least twice in a day and rises early in the morning for devotional service. Thus, he is naturally clean both inwardly and outwardly. A devotee is always expert because he fully knows the essence of all activities of life and he is convinced of the authoritative scriptures. A devotee never takes the part of a particular party. Therefore, he is carefree. He is never pained because he is free from all designations. He knows that his body is a designation, so if there are some bodily pains, he is free. The pure devotee does not endeavor for anything which is against the principles of devotional service. For example, constructing a big building requires great energy, and the devotee does not take to such business if it does not benefit him by advancing his devotional service. He may construct a temple for the Lord, and for that he may take all kinds of anxiety, but he does not construct a big house for his personal relations. It's a series of verses, as His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj said. In every verse, it's describes some qualities, and Krishna says at the end, if someone has this, he is very dear to me. It's from text 13 to text 19, and in text 20, Krishna says, if you do something, then you are very, very dear to him. So, we'll let you know. No spoiler. You have to find out. So Krishna gives some qualities that make us dear to him. And there is one quality which he stresses again and again and again and again and again and again in throughout the whole Bhagavad Gita. And this is tolerance. If you see what he says, it's mainly different types of tolerance. And actually Krishna says this from the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita. He starts with, Dehinosminyata dehe kamarameho vanamjara. And he says, oh, you are spirit soul. You are not the body. Basic of our philosophy, harder to understand, but yeah. And then, if you understand this, then he says, Matras Parshastu Kauntaya. Then if you understand that you are not the body, then you're very tolerant. Because you're not the body. So these things are not happening to you. So whatever happens to the body, you're not affected. Easier said than done, huh? But this is the practical test of if we really understood that we're not the body, then whatever happens to the body, yeah, no problem. No, simple. But I'm not the body, I'm spirit, soul. This problem into the body, this problem. No problem. I don't care. I don't take it seriously. And then he says one interesting thing in text 15. I'll have to find it. Because I just want to paraphrase this. In text 15, he says to Arjuna, O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. So he says, if you're very tolerant, if you're not looking for happiness and distress on this mental bodily platform, then you can easily be liberated. It's really easy formula. Short formula. Okay. You're just very tolerant. And that's it. And this is a solution for many of our problems. We just tolerate. There is this problem, you just tolerate. And because if you can't tolerate, then you have to fix the problem. And the problem is, you fix the problem, and then another problem comes up. It's not that, okay, you fix this problem and everything is okay. No, another problem comes up. You fix this, and then something else has to come. Like it's the famous story of the yogi who was meditating. Probably everyone knows this story because it's the classical example. So this yogi was just chanting his rounds peacefully. And he had a gamcha. That's all he had. He had two gamchas. If you live in the ashram, you understand that if you have two gamchas and you don't find one of them in the morning, it's a real problem. But anyway, so he had one gamcha who was... he put there to dry, and one rat stole his gamcha. There's different variations of the story. So then he got some other gamcha, and then he was always thinking of how to protect his gamcha. That's all he had, and he was not protecting so much. And then he had to get a cat, because the cat will drive away the rat. And then he was like, okay, but for the cat you need some milk, and then you get a cow. And for the cow, oh, the cow, someone has to milk the cow, and then you get a wife, and the wife wants some children, and then you get a big farm, because you have to protect your kamcha. So this is a classic, this is a real life story. It's, sometimes you see this in some devotees. I met one devotee who had really a complex system for reading Bhagavad Gita. He couldn't read this normal Bhagavad Gita, so he had to have this edition. And so then he had to have a lamp who was in this angle, and then some clippers to hold the pages of the Bhagavad Gita, and that and that, and then he could finally peacefully read the Bhagavad Gita. No, I mean it's a real story. So I was telling him this story about the yogi again and again, and we were having a lot of fun. Anyway, so that's the classical story of trying to solve one problem and another problem and another problem, and then so many problems, and then you're like, because in the end our yogi was just like, okay, I don't need a gamcha.
anymore. Okay, it's too much effort to protect my gamcha. So he was just traveling around naked. Of course, we cannot do it in this age. But yeah, he was doing this. And so Krishna says here that someone who is not striving for some result. So you have the classical example for this the what's the proper name? There was one sadhu Prahlad Maharaj met. He was traveling around and he met there was one sadhu who was just sitting there and he was doing Python yoga. He was just sitting there. He was not moving. And the python is known because the python is just staying in one place. He's not moving around to hunt. He just stays. And some things just come in his area, So he just eats whatever gets in his area. And apparently the python does really well. And Prahlad Maharaj, he understood that this is a real saintly person. So he was asking him, what's your policy? Well, I just sit here and whatever comes on its own accord, I will eat. And that's it. And then Prahlad Maharaj was quite surprised that he looked a bit chubby, you know, like he was a bit fat. So he was like, oh, what happens? Well, whatever comes on its own accord. So apparently everything was coming. He just needed to stay there. Of course, this is something which we cannot practice on that level. Me, if I would stay and the fridge would be empty for one day, I would be like, my Python yoga would finish very fast. I would just, it's too much. But yeah, some devotees can do this. Yeah, that's a few examples. And what we can easily learn in a temple is tolerance. So, or we should learn. Because there are challenges in the temple. I won't say too many examples. you have to come to the temple and see. But some things which you wouldn't, you don't expect happen, you know, like sometimes maybe some devotees are snoring. Probably me too. But I don't have a problem with my snoring, but, but probably some other devotee have. And then some other things can happen. Sometimes you're trying to sleep, and then two devotees are just in the... that's exactly the point where they are. They want to have a shastric discussion, you know. And they're like, no, in this Bhagavad Gita it says like this and like that, and the other is like, yes, very interesting. And also in this chapter it says like this, and they're like trying to sleep. And they're like, come on, guys, I'm trying to sleep here. Just jokingly, but sometimes it can happen. So what can you do? You know, like sometimes you are thinking, okay, I will, in this room there's too many problems, so I'll move to another room. So then you move to another room, and then in that room something else happens. You know, like. And then you move to another room. And then at some point you're like, okay, I will just stay in this room and tolerate. That's it. Enough. I'm not moving to another room anymore. That's it. That's here I am. That's all. Finish. So you just tolerate. That's an easy version. And there's in Bhagavatam a very nice story about tolerance.
there's one chapter, and His Holiness Bhaktiananda Tirtha Maharaj, he was saying sometime that if you want to test your advancement in Krishna consciousness, you have to see if you like this chapter or not. So this chapter is called the Song of the Avanti Brahmana. So it's a really nice story of the Avanti Brahmana who has read this chapter. Okay. So this Brahmana was living in Avanti area. That's why he's called Avanti Brahmana. And he was very rich, apparently. And I was rereading it again. And he apparently was doing he was a sort of a merchant Brahmana. I don't know. Anyway, that's what Bhagavatam says. So he was very rich, but his character was not the best. So he was lusty, greedy, angry, and so on. And he didn't treat others very well. And it's said that even though he was very rich, he wouldn't treat properly guests, family members. So he was very... he didn't give up. He was very attached to his money. he didn't spend any of the money. He was just getting money and not spending. That was his strategy. And apparently not. So you can guess that the family and everyone around were not very happy with him. So everybody was upset with him, and after some time, he was not even doing his brahminical duty. Sometimes probably he should have spent too much for the sacrifices. So he said no puja today. We put this oil instead of ghee. Finished. No ghee. And he had some pious stock, he had some good karma, and this got finished at some point. So after some time, he lost all his wealth. There were some thieves, there were some, his family members also found out where he was hiding everything. So he was really getting to be very poor. Like he didn't have too much money. It even says that his property was completely lost. So the family members were starting to ignore him even more, and he was starting to lament, you know, like. And when we lose things, we become a bit introspective. Why is this happening to me? I'm a good person. Anyway. And after some time, he got this feeling of renunciation. I mean, he was not a first-class Brahmana, but still he had some Brahminical culture. And he even understood... and he was really, the funny thing was that he even got the idea, well, I had so much money, and I didn't even use it, you know, like, it's like you have $10 million and you don't buy anything, you don't enjoy this money. So what's the point, you know, like, you just have so much money, you don't buy yourself anything. So he got to this point, he was lamenting like this. I got so much money and I didn't get anything for myself, you know, like what was the point? So now he lost it. And then he realized, maybe it's the mercy of Krishna. He had, even if he was not first class, he had some culture. some sort of Brahminical culture. So he understood, oh, maybe this is the mercy of Krishna that he took everything from me. And so he gets this feeling of renunciation. I mean, there was not much to renounce anyway, because he didn't have anything anymore. But he has this feeling of renunciation, and he just takes sannyas and goes. And to put it in Krishna conscious movement terms, someone would just move to the temple. Because anyway, his material life is ruined, so what to do? So then you think, okay, now he's renounced, and his life should be better, you know? And but actually, no. So here it's where it really starts to be interesting. They say people were very unpolite to him. They would dishonor him. And so some of the things they would do, I will not read all of them because some are too much. So sometimes people would take his belongings. You know, like he had a sannyasi rod, and the water pot, which he used also for begging. And he had some beads. And he had some torn clothes. So people would just take them from him. You know. And then they would play games like, here you are, here's your beads. And then he would go to take them and say, nah. they would play this kind of tricks on him. And he was like, okay, okay. And then, this will skip because it's too much. And he also had taken a vow of silence. He didn't speak with anyone. So people would come to him and come on, let's talk, you know. And when he wouldn't say anything, they would just beat him. And then sometimes they would bind him with a rope. And they would think, oh, he's just a fake spiritual man. Yeah, he's just making a business of religion. He just wants to beg. So he was really in a bad situation, you know, like, he took sannyas and everyone was treating him very bad. His life was really a mess. Like, you can think that sometimes, maybe he moved to the temple, and then devotees were like, okay, you gotta go in Sankirtan. So they give him a book and some books, and he goes out, and everyone is like, hello, sir. Adrian knows this movement. Or just, they're like, just go away, go away. Why don't you just do something with your life? I mean, voila. Yeah, in Slovenia people are polite, so it's okay. But just to have some. So he was so renounced. He was honest. He was sincere. And then all these things happened to him, you know. He wants to make some progress in spiritual life, and all these crazy things are happening to him. And you're like, oh my God, this is too much. And then he has a really interesting question. Who is to blame for this situation? Really good question. You know, like when some things happen to us, we can think of this question. Who is to blame for this situation? I mean, yeah, and you know, the he gives some answers on a spiritual platform directly. But you can think of First solution you give to this question is that no, these people are they are just crazy, you know, like these people are just nuts. So they are to blame. And then, but no, if you understand how karma works, you can understand that maybe I have done, and these people are just instruments of my karmic reactions. So they are not to blame, you know. It's not them who are to blame. And then you're like, he gives a few options, like demigods. Oh, maybe the demigods are to blame for what's happening here. No, but the demigods are just applying some karmic reactions here. You cannot say that the judge is responsible for putting someone in prison. No, because someone has done a crime, and the judge is just applying the law. He's just, okay, it's not personal. I'm just applying the law. You have done this crime, you'll get in prison and get this reaction. I mean, so the demigods are not to blame. And then he's like, he has a few other solutions, like demigods, the planets. Yes, there's this understanding that there's some astrological influence. But actually this astrological influence is just a way of how our past karma is, we receive our past karma. So you cannot say this is because Mercury is retrograde today. No, Mercury is retrograde and these planets are in this constellation because we have bad karma and we have to get it. So this is on a more or less material on this karma platform. That if you really see what's going on, then you think who is responsible, and then there's the bad, really bad solution, which we don't like to hear, which is that I am responsible. He is snoring because of I have bad karma. He's not snoring. Or I don't know. I don't hear. No, he is snoring because I have bad karma. And they're like, oh my God. No, he's snoring because of I have bad karma. And this guy, he makes a lot of noise when he wakes up at 3 o'clock because I have bad karma. Oh my God. And this person, they're discussing Shastra when I'm sleeping because I have bad karma. And then they're like, oh my God, I don't like this philosophy. This philosophy is crazy. But it's true, you know? So, then this Avanti Brahmana, he's giving a solution even more interesting, because he's putting the soul in the equation. He says, okay, but the soul is not suffering. The soul is not affected by body, but what is the problem is that my mind is uncontrolled and I'm trying to I'm identifying myself with the body, and and then he finds the simple solution, and he gives the solution for all his problems. And in this situation where everyone is behaving horribly with him, he says, okay, whatever. And he says, I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nescience by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. That's it. So he says, okay, this person is nasty. This person is nasty to me. This person is nasty. This person is also nasty. No problem. I will just continue chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah, that's a really advanced solution from
from this Avanti Brahmana. Because so Krishna is emphasizing here tolerance. But tolerance is not, we should not just tolerate. We should focus. Focus on something else. There's this non-devotional example. Like you have a student who has some exam, which is really important for him. And he's a serious student. He's not a normal student. So he's really focused. I have to pass this exam. I have to study for this exam. And then some other students come and they, oh, hey, today is party. Let's go. So what he will say? He'll say, oh, sorry guys, I have to learn for, I will learn for the exam. So, no, because he's focused. He's really fixed. He's like, okay. I don't care about your party. I'm so fixed on this. I have to learn for these exams that anything else, I don't care. Whatever happens, you know, like. So, this is about. So, and of course, if he's not so focused, then when these guys come, then he was like, "Oh, party! Oh, let's go! I will later." I will learn later. To get this focus, you have to be convinced. And Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport that a devotee is always expert because he fully knows the essence of all activities of life and he is convinced of the authoritative scriptures. So this means that the devotee, he is studying the shastras. He knows very well the shastras and he's convinced. He's very convinced. Oh, okay. Bhagavad Gita says like this. That's it. And this is really important to really study our philosophy, to really understand the philosophy. Because then we can know what's what. If you don't know what's what, then people. Yeah, you can be tested and you're like, I don't know. Because it's really, it's not all one. It's not all decisions don't lead to the same point. So you have to know really well what are the decisions, what is this option, what is this option. What does Krishna want? What do I want? So, we have to be really fixed, really know what Krishna wants and just go in that direction. And, we need some devotees who know this. Sometimes you have these devotees that are really clear, really strong on some point. They say about advanced devotees that are soft like a rose and hard like a thunderbolt. So they are soft in the sense that they want our, they are our well-wishers. But when it's about telling what's right and wrong, they are really, it's like this. I don't know your experience, but I have experiences like this. And I go and I'm like, oh, maybe we can do like this also. And then I hear, no, we don't do it like this. We do it like this. Very clear, very cutting. Just cutting, just not fooling around. Which is, sometimes painful because what is actually cutting? It's cutting our attachments. It's not, but we like our attachments. So yeah, sometimes it's not. Anyway, we need these strong devotees. And then in the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives
also a similar solution. Because he says, yes, the devotee doesn't care. And he says, okay, if it's about constructing a big building for himself, the devotee just doesn't care. He's like, oh my God, too much effort, too much. No, no, no. I can live in a small house. No problem. Yeah, what's... But when it's about Krishna, to build the same building, he's like, okay, let's go. Okay, how much? Okay, too much anxiety. It's so much anxiety. Okay, I'll take it because it's for Krishna. So the devotee for himself, he doesn't care. He really doesn't care. Oh, I sleep in that room. I sleep in that room. I live like this. There's this prasadam, rice and dal. Okay. So what? No problem. But if it's for Krishna, he's really okay. Okay. If it Krishna, for Krishna, we can do things. So this is the platform to develop tolerance. It's not just tolerance, as I said. It's about doing whatever is needed for Krishna. And at the same time, whatever else comes up, we just tolerate. There's some problems occur in the service of Krishna. But, we just tolerate. And there's this, there's this verse which was quoted, this famous verse from Bhagavatam, which was quoted in the purport 2 days ago, and he says, Lord Brahma gives the formula how to treat this, because we have to see the whatever bad thing is happening as reactions to our past activities. You know, like sometimes with people in this society, they think they are good people. Yeah, we are good people. Yeah, yes, I'm a good person. And then you ask them, sometimes we don't ask. You're like, have you ever eaten meat? Did you ever eat meat? Yeah, maybe. So, you know, this is bad karma. Oh, okay, but I'm a good person. For us, we probably did that. So Lord Brahma says, gives the formula there. He says, my dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds. So you're just tolerating whatever happens. Oh, this has happened. Oh. Probably I have done something in the past. Yeah, but this is Lord Brahma is saying. No, no. And offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. So it's simple formula. You just continue engaging yourself in devotional service, and whatever happens, you just tolerate. And if it's something bad, you tolerate and you think, probably I have done something. So, what to do? So that's the formula. I'll say this and then stop. This is one level, and then even more. Sometimes when we are in a situation, we think that Krishna doesn't see what's going on. We have this tendency, you know, like there is like, oh, this is not good. Krishna doesn't see what I'm such a good devotee, and this situation is Krishna has made the wrong arrangement. And it's not true. It's you can think that actually Krishna puts you in that situation, and there is something to learn. Sometimes even just tests you. Okay, let's see. Are you gonna serve me if these things happen? And we see that in whole Bhagavatam, it's so many devotees who are put in so much crazy situations. And then they just tolerate. They're like, okay, yes, sure, we will still serve you. Oh, this problem. Oh, okay, sure, I will still serve you. This happens. Oh, yes, sure, I will still serve you. And then we can get to the last verse in Shikshashtaka, where it really says that no matter in what position Krishna puts us, we'll still serve him. And most of the time he knows what he's doing. So most of the time after some time you see that, oh, actually it was a good plan. It happened to you? Yeah, to me too. I'm like, oh my God, why Krishna, why, what are you doing? You're sleeping. You had a good party with the covered boys and you didn't see what's going on here. But no, he sees very well what's going on. And then you see, whoa, actually it was a good plan. So this is the formula. You see, Krishna, can give this or that or that, but I will still serve him. I will just tolerate what happens and then just serve him. So that's a simple formula. Okay, I'll stop here. If there's some concerns, comments, questions, the question is there.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Regarding the focus part, it can happen maybe that we don't understand the Shastra necessarily. Maybe we understand some parts or some things. For example, the fact that Krishna is actually a person. That was a hard thing for me in the beginning. But then I started to focus on the surface and I started to understand the Shastras through focusing. So I want to know if focusing leads to surrender or if you need surrender to focus.
Focus needs to surrender, and or you need to surrender to focus.
Also other qualities, I think, for focusing. It's not only surrender, it's also some, you know, maybe some, also some, a bit of love for Krishna, a bit of, you know, some other.
You need some knowledge of the Shastras. So if we don't know the Shastras too well, then it's good to study them. And that's why probably Ananta Prabhu is doing these courses and all these things. Because we have to really understand, to really know the Shastras. Because this focus, this determination comes from knowledge and faith. You cannot have determination if you're not convinced that Krishna knows what he's doing. And this also comes from, like you said, determination and focus comes from some sort of surrender, like you test a bit. You try to do some service, and then you see that it works. And then your faith is increasing. You see some sign, oh, I do this, and Krishna is really responding. Oh, so he must be a good guy. And so on. So they probably go hand in hand. And then you're like, you have your faith increases, and then you're like, you can surrender more. And like, okay, let's give also this to Krishna. I will renounce also this crazy idea. Okay. And then you test and you see, oh, it's even better. Yeah, surrender is a gradual process. So, it's not, and this fate is not black or white. You know, it's gradual. I don't know if I answered this.
Yes, and this is applying to us who are not born in Vaishnava families, and that we have false impressions of the past, and this is why it's harder to focus, I guess, right? And this we have these impressions, and we are attached to those impressions, so therefore it's very hard to focus.
Yeah, we're coming from a very bad position. Krishna says 7:28. He gives the qualification of someone who is 7:28, who can be on the Nishta platform, at least. She says, person who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. So probably we didn't act piously in the past lives and this life, maybe. But the beauty of the Lord Chaitanya's movement and of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. We are mercy cases. I mean,
also, what from what I heard before in the past in some lectures, I think also in Romania, there was this thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't a very good scholar, but he with this chanting, he, you know, this is an example of maybe you don't need to really, really understand clearly the Shastras, but just be focused on the chanting.
No, actually, Lord Chaitanya was a really good scholar.
Yeah. Okay. So then I didn't understand.
I mean, he was debating at some point in the beginning, but if you see his discussions with Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, you'll see that he... And Srila Prabhupada gave us this formula. He gave us these books for studying, not for not only for distributing. because if you how can you have faith in Krishna if you don't read these books? If you don't associate with Srila Prabhupada, then you're like, okay. In these books there are so many examples of how Krishna is such a nice person, how he deals with his devotees, that you're like, oh my God, I want to be his devotee also. This is really nice. And also when you do something in knowledge, it's completely different than when you do just something, you know, like. So yes.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. About tolerance, are there different levels of tolerance, and where is the limit?
Sky is the limit. No, just joking a bit. It depends on the person. There's different levels, and sometimes you really need to change something outside. You know, sometimes you really need to tell this guy, guys, can you discuss this Shastra somewhere else, please. But many cases we need to also improve our tolerance. If we just react all the time and just change things outside, you cannot change everything outside. There's some limit, and then you also can if something I mean you can go by this formula. You tolerate once a few times, and then you can just go to a senior devotee and say, you know, this situation is really disturbing to me, what can I do, you know, like this. And it really, the solution really depends on the person, you know, like. Also there's this discussion, what's proper sense gratification? And it really depends. For a sannyasi, the answer is different from the answer for a grihastha. So it's not the same.
Okay, I just want to clear it, so...
We have these extreme examples. And we should somehow take them as inspiration, that I want to go in that direction. But you cannot. But we should try. But it's not overnight. You know, we have to try to go in that direction, but not. I mean, it's not that we shouldn't, like, because there's sometimes this tendency that I cannot follow, so it's not possible.
Also, you cannot follow artificially. If something really bothers you, you cannot say, "Okay, I will tolerate it."
Yeah, of course.
If it's not.
Yeah. So, what I say, you should keep the idea. Okay, this is the principle. This is where I should be, and not pretend that I shouldn't be there. You know, like I'm good. You know, oh, I'm good. I'm good. This is not the standard anymore. This is the standard. What I can do. We should really be honest and be at this place. Okay, this is what I should do, and this is what I can do for now. For now. And I'm trying, I'm really inspired to go in that direction. You know, like this. And gradually I want to advance in this direction. You cannot, both extremes are bad, you know, like if you just try to do it all at once, then you'll just be like, yeah. But you, the other extreme is like, oh, it's all good. I'm like this, and this is not good either. You know, like okay, this is what I can do for now. You can just put it for now, and then maybe like this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.